ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Reality TV, the podcast where we cringe watch all the shows we love and love to hate. I'm Jody, your source for snarky reality TV recaps from all the networks across the board. No one is off limits as I dissect even the tiniest details of our favorite train wrecks. Be sure to follow up between episodes on Twitter and Instagram at RealityTVPod. Snark with me and fellow listeners on Facebook in the Reality TV Podcast Orchard of Snark group. And for nitty-gritty, unfiltered me, check out bonus episodes at patreon.com/realitytvpod. All right, let's get to the good stuff. Hello and welcome back. A huge thank you right off the bat for finding your way back if you had trouble finding Reality TV Podcast or having to resubscribe. Some of the smaller apps like Pocket Cast, a couple of you said, they're slower to refresh their feeds, but Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, it's already there. They've refreshed it and it should be in your queue already if you subscribe. Okay, with that out of the way, last night we made it to the third episode, a whole hour of awkward first nights together after the wedding ceremony. It was so uncomfortable to watch, in a good cringy way, of course, like watching people on their first date. And I love nothing more than being out and realizing that people are on a first date and watching. Here is a hot tip for you. Stay with me. You know, a really good place to run into them, Panera. I have had such good luck there. And you might be saying, Jody, what the hell are you talking about? Panera for a first date, really? Oh yes, Panera for a first date. You see, the type of people who meet for a first date at Panera are the type of people you want to watch on a first date at Panera. There's no sit-down meal, splitting a check, tipping. No, ma'am. This is a place where we can be awkward, but pretend to be easy breezy, Asiago cheesy. There was one time I eavesdropped on a date, and it was the best. There was this dork who went on almost the entire time about his college days and his high school days of being in the marching band, and he was talking about it as if he was Tom Cruise in Top Gun. It was amazing. And the girl went from laughing and flirting in the beginning to just the most pained, awkward silences. And I couldn't leave, so I had to see it through. So I just pretended to be listening to a podcast or movie with my headphones in and made it look like I had a very important government job on Facebook. And it ended with him asking, oh, we should do this again. And she pulled a classic girl thing to do and was like, sure. I mean, it was so obvious she was not into him and turned off just as I was. So we know what that sure means. It means she went home, she ghosted him, and probably hid every time someone rang the doorbell or her phone rang. Okay, so married at first sight. How about that? Jody on a tangent. So weird. All right. Jackie and Ryan. Last week, we left off with these two hitting it off in a tremendous way. Jackie thinks Ryan is charismatic, outgoing, fun to be around. He can light up a room. Ryan thinks Jackie is a beautiful girl, smart, and has a great family. When they get to their room, there was a lot of Mrs. Buckley this, Mrs. Buckley that. It's more than clear to me that Ryan has a really good buzz going, so I'm hoping that's what the constant repetition was. So Ryan says, let's go lay down, and then hints at a foot fetish as he insists on taking Jackie's shoes off. Mrs. Buckley, let me take care of that for you. Ugh. It's starting to be too much. He admits he wants the picket fence and the perfect marriage. But, dude, you gotta ease into that just a bit. You can't just force Jackie into this equation you have in your head without knowing her first. My intuition, based on no training and just judging people for a hobby, some like to say it's a gift, Jackie is digging the attention, and of course she's liking the "she's beautiful" comments, but she does seem slightly skittish. She's acknowledged that, yeah, they have chemistry, but I liked and respected that as he was googly-eyeing her on the couch, she responded with, "I'm about to grill you with questions." And that might have even been the first words out of my mouth when I was set up on a blind date with Mr. Reality TV. Okay, so let's get to the good stuff. It's the will they or won't they have sex time. Ooh, God, it's the worst, but it's also the best. Jackie says, yeah, I'd like to have sex with him, but she's not sure how Ryan feels about it. Judging by him doing the splits all night and practically picking out names for his little swimmy spermies that he wants to give you, I'd say he's down for it. So the camera crew leaves us with them cuddling. Night, night. Okay, fast forward. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. Ryan is saying how Jackie is such a blanket hog. Jackie says Ryan talks in his sleep. Whoopsie. Ryan whispers to Jackie that there's a condom on the floor, and the camera shoots to it. Used. Ooh. First of all, this right here is the exact reason I treat hotel room floors as if they're hot lava. If you haven't learned this about me yet, I am a germaphobe. My feet will never be bare on a hotel room floor. I cringe even having to stand in the shower if I forgot to bring my flip-flops, light switches, doorknobs, thermostat, and especially that sperm magnet, the remote, must be handled with caution and care. And the beds, let's not even go there. My mom made me watch that Semen Confidential report on 2020 back in seventh grade, and I have never been the same. So it's monsters like these two that ruin lives. And is it just me that was shocked that neither of them seemed that embarrassed by it? I would have dove under those blankets and refused to come out until the cameras left the room. Ryan didn't even get out of bed to go pick it up. And to be thinking that their parents were watching that episode last night seeing that. Oh my God. Now, speaking of the parents, the next morning they have brunch with their parents and in-laws. Holy awkward. To be honest, I was just happy that producers didn't give us three scenes of the couples brushing their teeth side by side, because they love a teeth brushing scene every freaking season. Now, Ryan's parents are just happy Ryan's happy, and they seem very pleased with Jackie. Who wouldn't? She seems like a really sweet girl. Her parents admit to being skeptical, and they actually tried discouraging her from doing this. But now that they've met Ryan and they talked with him, they're hopeful. Somewhere in this mix, the couples learn that they're going to Jamaica for the honeymoon. Jamaica's largest freshwater pool. I've got two tickets to paradise. Pack your bags. We're leaving the day after tomorrow. Okay, how many people did I just lose with a bad impression of Michael Scott from The Office? Well, this is another first for Married at First Sight. The couples are actually all going to Jamaica and meeting up together there so that they have a support system for one another. I'm thinking I kind of like it, but more on that later. Time to meet with Dr. Jessica. Something tells me Dr. Jessica dropped several thousand dollars at Nordstrom before the season started, because her wardrobe is very cocktail hour meets real housewife pretending she's at an important day job. And Dr. Jessica's meeting with all the couples before they leave to check in. She wants to share her observations and give specific, individualized advice for each couple to encourage success. For example, when Jackie and Ryan sit down, she says, "I can tell by the way you're touchy-feely that there's a connection." "Oh, that was really deep there, Jess. What else does your PhD allow you to do?" "I want to remind them that there's so much to learn and there'll be bumps in the road." "What? Oh, so that's why in the vows it says for better or worse?" "The honeymoon is a chance to get to know each other. Your past has made you who you are today." I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. This is like reading quotes off of Pinterest. She sucks. Okay, another fast forward, and now they're on their way to Jamaica for their honeymoon. "Jamaican me crazy." Okay, Ryan, now that is as Michael Scott as you can get. In the limo on the way to the airport, they're holding hands and laughing. They're joking around, and surprising to me is that they're talking about what type of birth control they're going to use. It's just very relaxed, and then they get to Jamaica, and they're excited, and they even have a pillow fight. I'm not down for a man-initiated pillow fight, or really any pillow fight anytime. But you know what offended me more? The fact that Ryan is wearing the same American flag shorts to bed again. With all the sweating from the wedding, I didn't mean that to rhyme, but in the wedding events of that night, he's double dipping in those things. Gross. And if you're saying, "Hey, Jody, maybe he just has a second pair of those," well, then he's worse than I thought. All right, next up, Molly and Jonathan. So I have to tell you that when I take notes while watching so I don't forget stuff, I find that I have a ton on Jonathan and almost nothing on Molly. This is the third week it's happened. And it's because she doesn't really say much. It's all Jonathan all the time, which is why I can't stand him. I'm just going to call him Jonathan, because otherwise I'm just going to annoy you and piss you off each week by repeating that he is Nathan from Teen Mom, who needs a bottle of Rogaine stat. After the reception, Molly's exhausted, but she's relieved and feeling hopeful because she thinks that they are a strong match, and she felt instantly comfortable with him. Jonathan says, "My wife is dead sexy, let's be real." And then he does a running faceplant into the bed. I can't stand him, so I support this move, because guess where most of that dry semen is found with the black lights? On the bedspread. Karma, you asshole. Molly's worried about having to impress John's mom, but he basically says he doesn't give a shit about his mom, and I quote, "She's something. Just do you, do you." Such a charmer. Now they lay in bed awkwardly and they talk about the places they want to go to. Jonathan wants to take her to all the cool places he's been, because of course he does, because he wants to show off and be the know-it-all to his little quiet wifey poo. And they also talk about going to Antarctica. Molly says she loves penguins and John says, "Of course, who doesn't like penguins?" This girl. Penguins are the meanest little creatures at the zoo. Their poop smells worse than anything else there, and those freaking birds they cohabitate with at Brookfield Zoo here in Chicago, bitches be crazy. Those things will dive bomb your head, and they don't give a flying fuck. Literally. I have George Costanza'd my way out of there many a time. And I know I've talked to some of you about this in the Facebook group. Darlene, I think that was you who said that it's happened to you too. Trust us, it is the worst. So back to Jonathan's penguins. Molly jokingly says, "Oh, they're so cute. I take one home with me from Antarctica." And John's like, "I don't think you can do that, but you can try." He's the worst laugh ever. Well, she was joking, you moron. He's got the worst fucking sense of humor. Now we get this taking the wedding dresses off montage of all the women, which was actually pretty creepy. And John has a voiceover saying he can see himself falling for Molly.
Like, scarily, worth losing my job for.
Well, there we have it. Think about it. Would you ever say or have said, I'm falling in love? Like, it's scary how I'm falling in love right now. I don't know. It's just an odd choice of words, right? He also talks about wanting to have sex with her that night, but he's not going to push it. He also takes off his shirt to expose his oddly placed nipples. They are at the bottom quadrant of his boobble area. Like, where my nipples are when I take my bra off at night with my Nat Geo boobs before I dive into an old t-shirt like I'm quickly changing in my high school locker room. It was bizarre. Well, Molly enjoys his physique, but she still looked disturbed when John bragged about sleeping naked, and I'm with her. Not a fan of that. Now, who wants to guess what they did that night? Because he rolls over and says good morning and that he slept good until that little stint in the middle when you kept us up for a couple hours. So what was that about? Because it sounds like she's holding off on sex. So was this just some making out, or what are we thinking here? Now they get their little Jamaica basket and they're excited. Yay for adventures. And then Jonathan says, and I replayed it because I'm adding this to his permanent file.
I don't have a confidence problem.
Yeah, we know. It's at this time that John thought it would be a good time to take out the old ball gag his buddies gave him. Yeah, this asshole takes out a ball gag in front of a woman he hasn't even known for 24 hours and a camera crew that's going to show it worldwide and for any family or potential employer to see. You fucking idiot. Molly is super uncomfortable, and I felt bad for her because he kept going on with it and then talking about going to a sex store. If you see your jokes are making someone really physically uncomfortable, you stop. That whole dynamic there just made me, I don't know. So now we're at brunch and Molly's sweet mom is just happy for her. She's shy but sweet. And throughout the brunch, both sides of the family would mention why they were matched and Molly was citing examples of their personality. But you can probably guess what Jonathan said.
Mom, you asked why I needed experts. Experts.
And points to Molly as if to say, well, it's her physical appearance because she's hot. Like, how about talk about her? Oh, because you haven't even asked her anything about herself. You don't know her. It's the Jonathan Show 24/7. During their session with Dr. Jessica, Molly says she understands why the experts match them. Once again, John's response was,
yeah, because she's beautiful, and I keep having to beat her off with a stick.
Write this down in your navigator's journal. Little People, Big World reference. Dr. Jessica advises to work on building a connection. Ah, got it. Thanks for that super solution on how to do that. Work on building a connection. Isn't that what a therapist is supposed to tell you how to do? That's like telling someone who wants to start running, ah, you got this. Get that marathon, Tiger. God, she sucks. Well, we wrap up these two with Jonathan basically seconds away from jerking off onto Molly because he hints at having sex on the plane. And once they're in Jamaica,
my wife is sexy and tonight is literally the perfect night to have sex with Molly. So I hope it happens.
And if it doesn't, I think we're going to see a very different side to John. Oh, man, this last one, it's just sad. Jeffy and Shaunice. Shaunice is on a high. She feels beautiful, and this was a dream wedding for her. She can't wait to spend the night with her husband. Despite not having had sex in the last 14 months, she's a little nervous, but she's cleared for a landing. But she knows Jeffy isn't going to initiate anything. But you know what? She's not fronting. She's horny for her man, and she will take the lead need be. When it was Shawnee's turn for the help me undress scene, Jeff D practically puts a Pumps rubber glove on and runs away after untying her belt. So Shawnee's tries being flirty by joking about the condoms that producers left in the room, and Jeff D immediately responds with, "Not for tonight, no," and turns away. Like, seriously, man, if you don't want to sleep together yet, that's 100% okay. But you don't have to be a dick about it. You can still just joke around back. I don't think Shawnee's fully comprehended Jeff D's aversion to her yet, because she's still smiling and joking around about not wearing makeup for the first time. And she's right. It does take a lot of courage to show your naked face for the first time. Luckily, she's cute, and I actually loved her natural hair like that night. Clearly, nothing happened when the camera crew left, because there's a slight yet obvious tension in the air. Shawnee says she wants Jeff D to add her phone number to his phone later that morning, which is honestly a pretty logical next step, right? It is your wife. But Jeff D gets all weird and hesitant about it. And then all of a sudden, this dynamic is set up that the more he pulls away, the more she insisted, which made him pull away even more. It's just a disaster. The experts matched a clinger with a slow to warm upper. It is an epic mistake. Finally, on the way to brunch, we learn that Shawnee's pees with the door open. Okay, you know what? Do what you want to do at home, whatever you and your partner do. But on the first night of knowing someone, I am with Jeff D on this one. Just close until you knows each other. Now, that brunch, very interesting. Jeff D's family had to go back home, so it was just Shawnee's family. I thought they were super warm and friendly. Her grandma wanted to know if they banged it out last night. I love it. I want to be like grandmother Shawnee's when I grow up. We find out some family background, but I didn't really even find that part so interesting. What I found interesting was that Jeff D was on the other side of the table from Shawnee's, and it was the most we've heard from him ever. He talked more at that table with her family, opened up more to them than he did with his new bride, whom he asked to be matched and married to. He needed the safety of people around him in order to have a comfortable emotional distance from Shawnee's. See, I told you guys, I'm well read on the psychological stuff. Now, for their meeting with Dr. Jessica, she asks Shawnee's and Jeff D how they're doing. Shawnee says she finds Jeff D attractive, and immediately Jeff D sees this as his individual counseling session.
"I do too, but I just want to baby step into it."
Okay, he knows the name of the show he signed up for, right?
"I would rather take my time. This stranger's now my wife, and I have to get used to that."
This stranger? That's cold to not even refer to her by her first name.
"But I have to be polite because it's hard to open up to people. I don't know. I'm just not good with strangers."
Again, you're a teacher, so you know how to read. This is the whole point of the experiment that you read and signed up for. Dr. Pepper reminds us of it every 128 seconds. At this point, Dr. Jessica suggests he just relax, try to share his feelings with Shawnee's. And before she can even finish her sentence, finish her thought, he cuts her off and says,
"Yeah, but she's a stranger. I'm not comfortable opening up to her."
It's like he's taking the lesson of walking straight to school and not talking to any strangers a little too far. Even my husband Dave piped in with a, "Ooh, that was harsh." And this is coming from a man that was afraid to be alone with me when we first started dating. That's a true story. It's a fun one to tell the kids. So back to a crying Shawnee's. This poor girl who thought this was going to be an amazing experience, she's being publicly shunned by this guy for absolutely no reason. Yes, she's coming on strong. She peed with the door open, but that aside. While the other couples were flirting and holding hands in the limo, these two are not even close to touching. She's crying under a blanket. He's turned toward the door, staring out the window so he doesn't have to look at her. Jeffy is just turning out to be a big jerk. He shall be renamed Jerkty. If things could not get any worse, their flight ended up being delayed, and then they missed their connecting flight, and they have no luggage because it's lost somewhere in Florida. God damn it, Florida, get it together, for real. Not you, Claremont Apples in Florida, just everyone else. But like I've said before, when the universe whispers to you and you don't listen, gets louder and louder, yeah, this might be a sign. So they get to their amazing room that the other couples were just drooling over, but they are both far too tired and emotionally drained to care. Shaunice goes to make a toast, try to make the best of it, and Jerky's being all negative, just being totally indifferent to her, and she is right on the money that he's acting like he doesn't even want to be on a first date with her. That makes me so sad for her. No one deserves to be treated like that. Unless they're Jerky or John Nathan. We close out the show with Shaunice finishing the toast. I'm here with my husband, and you're here with your wife. And as if we're listening to a broken record, he pipes in with a, yeah, my stranger wife. This season is going to get dark, isn't it? One of these seasons, I would love to see one of the experts do an intervention during a honeymoon from hell, because we've had some before, but all they get are a Skype call. I guess I know what I need to do. Pack my bag so I can meet them at Jamaica's largest freshwater pool. All right, Claremont Apples, and those of you who are new listeners, we're still not over 90 Day Fiancé Evelyn and her obsession with apples from her town. Claremont Apples forever and always. Have a great rest of your week, and remember that Love After Lockup is on Friday nights on WeTV, and I'm already hooked, so I'll be recapping that all season long. Find us on Facebook, Reality TV Podcast, Orchard of Snark, and Twitter and Instagram at Reality TV Pod. And stay salty!
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.